You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on The Cooligans, we are joined by the poet and Vosges man himself. We got the half of the duo, David Vianich.
That's right. Our new spiritual leader, right? Okay. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about his career. We talk about what he's into. We talk about his headspace. We also talk about the dictatorship shirt he's wearing, which we're not kidding. We try to have as big a nice as possible with this guy. We talk about that and more on this episode of The Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
The Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
What?
What?
Okay, exactly. What? Say what?
I don't know what else to say. Bang, 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 bang. I don't know what we do for England. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is this is gonna be a heavy heavy English heavy British heavy British
because we speak the real English, you know what I mean? So like this show
that's
always
right.
Be heavy English. That sentence I just said came right for the queen, my guy.
Yeah, and also heavy English is your rap name,
was,
Alexis.
Yeah,
so that's
it was
cool.
A short-lived career, though. You know what I mean? But okay. This is exciting because look, we said this right. It's a pandemic, all right? We know you're home, all right? So we went out and we got the biggest names we could get, and they said no.
Yes.
But then we went next, and this dude said yes, right?
So, exactly.
So no, but we're excited because we're fans of this dude.
Exactly. Yes, and we also have to introduce ourselves, Alexis.
Oh, yeah. Hello,
if
you don't know
everybody,
who we are by now. What are you doing?
All right. So my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, aka Heavy English.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed. Okay,
it's not just that though. It's also the gulliest. All right.
That's right.
We out here.
This episode will be another example of that.
Because just for shirts alone.
Shirts alone. Okay. Well, if we have to compare, the problematic shirts on this show, I think we're going to figure out who wins.
Right. Because
in this
you're
one.
Trying to troll him with your Everton stuff. I'm wearing Atlanta gear because that's where we met my dude. And he pulled out. I'm not even going to say it until you see it. Because I can't believe it's real. I think my dude got a bootleg on Roosevelt Ave or Fordham Road in the Bronx. But ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you knew him from a channel we ain't going to mention. You probably know him from Poet and Vosges. The dude is an absolute legend in the game. Sometimes he confuses the hell out of you with some of his mystical shit he be saying, right? Like, I don't know what the hell he talking about, yo. Finish your sentence, my guy. That's what I say. He frustratingly eats during most of his podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, unless you're driving, and especially if you're driving on the wrong side of the road because you English, for the one, the only man like David Vujanic, everybody.
What is good, brother?
Let's go.
Greetings.
Got to bring up is, what shirt are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing the North Korea jersey. As you guys know, I've got a bit of a fetish for football shirts, and during this kind of lockdown period, eBay has become one of my best friends. Mm. And I thought, what could I find that is niche that no one's really going to be rocking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, North Korea jersey XL. And, a guy in Germany had one. So, Dankeschön. And here I am with
Wow. I didn't know they made North Koreans in XL because they're malnourished. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I can't lie. This shit is tight.
Yeah. I would expect it to be. You know what I mean?
I can see my belly button, but I'm rocking it. I'm rocking it.
I think it's also tracking your whereabouts, okay?
Well, I'll leave that for the vaccines.
Okay.
Now I'm all for the chemtrails now. I'm like, whatever cures this whole joint, bring it on, my guy.
I'm giving in 5,000. I don't care anymore.
I'm going to show up to the NSA, be like, put in whatever you got to put in under my skin.
Whatever.
Let's clear this joint.
Whatever we got.
Here's
to
the
do,
password
right?
of my to my cell phone. Whatever y'all need.
Booze. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I know you know the lockdown has been affecting people in different parts of the world in different ways. So at least that's first. Let's talk about how are you maintaining yourself in this lockdown. How are you still working and putting out content and working on your YouTube channel? So how are things going for you right now?
I mean, I'm loving it, to be honest with you. I've already been kind of living in quite a solitary life for a while. Kind of, I like my alone time.
Okay.
And it kind of naturally went into this lockdown where I didn't really feel it too much on my skin. I've been kind of going to the park and reading books and a bit of meditation here and there and looking at trees and shit. I've been enjoying it. It's a weird time, definitely, but. Yeah, a lot more kind of internal, I'd say, internal focus. So I've not been stressed. I'm trying not to stress and, you know, look at the news too much and just kind of be with my family and take it easy, you know.
Which is probably okay. great advice for everyone. You know what I mean? Spend time with your family if you can. Yeah. I mean, I hang up on my mother when she calls. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not... She knows I'm home. I don't have a lot of excuses right now. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? But, like, she's a lot. You know, it's a Cuban woman. Yeah. She's like, get the wasp. You know? Yeah. You know, it's a lot.
My mom's Serbian. I can't get away from it. But
nah, dude,
we don't leave home until we're, like, 56, you know? Or until someone dies. That's it, you know?
Yeah. You'll break her heart if you leave before. 455, you know,
she'll break it back. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just them Balkans, you know what I mean?
Balkans, we don't play, but that's another thing I've been doing is on the flip side, I've been giving into you know, smoking a lot of cigarettes when I wake up. Just I thought, you know, if I'm doing one healthy thing, I'll do something completely unhealthy on the other end. And then I'll just smoke cigarettes all day and just have cigarette break after cigarette break, and then I'll have some food.
This isn't part of, you know, it's not part of the guidelines, clearly.
You really should not
be following.
Also, it's a respiratory attacking disease that's going around. And
I
you're
just
smoking cigarettes.
To myself, let me make it as hard as possible, you know, for my lungs.
What you need to do is get like me, because it's killing fat people. You know what I mean? if you start eating and smoking cigarettes, my guy, exactly. really put yourself in a challenge.
I'm doing the cigarette challenge. I thought, let me see.
Yeah.
You know, if this does happen, what happens next?
Right. That's an era. So far, that's an area of TikTok we're not hip to just yet. The cigarette challenge. What Travis Scott song do I dance with the cigarette to?
I'm sure there's gonna be some, you know, dance move is gonna happen soon.
Baby, let me get a light of my cigarette.
But I was gonna say, YouTube though has been cool. I mean, me and Poet did like one of our episodes that we do every week. We did it, you know, the 2 meter distance apart thing, and that was really cool. It was good to see him. I don't know if it counts as a rule break. Only essential work is meant to be carried out, but we see YouTube as essential work, so I think we're in the remit of the boundaries that we did that one episode. And early on we did a few podcasts. It was pretty cool. But otherwise, not so much content. Just been chilling. Netflix has been completed, game over. And now, you know, I did the whole eBay thing. I did Breaking Bad because I never did Breaking Bad.
Okay, what'd you think?
Completed Breaking Bad. I thought it was a great ending. The character development was fantastic. At times, I did feel like it dragged on, but that's maybe because I was trying to do 9 episodes a day. Do you know what I mean? So, naturally, your body's like, just end. You know?
Sure, also, sure. Maybe it was hard for you to see through the cigarette smoke.
Exactly.
Ooh, look at that, fixing his camera.
I'm trying to wipe it down in my shirt. Wait.
Okay. Yeah, things get messy during the lockdown.
Actually,
you know what I'm saying?
Messy around here. If I tell you what happened to me last night, can we go into things? Or can
absolutely.
We go
into-
do as you please. Yeah, I'll ask the question I was going to ask later, but go for it.
I mean, you said things get messy during lockdown. I think what you're trying to imply is that I have been masturbating. Is that true? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm glad you caught that, sir. Yeah.
I think I caught that.
That's what you thought. I thought you meant by cigarette break. I got to be honest with you. I'm like, this guy's getting in.
However, because I've been on more of a inner journey, I've been trying to cut out the explicit, you know, videos and the ladies that I'm a fond of on the internet.
Okay.
And bro, last night I had a wet dream. It was incredible.
You know what? I mean, this is...
You know what? You usually don't hear somebody say, I had a wet dream, and then say, it was incredible
unless,
right afterwards.
Unless it's the first time you had one.
No. I mean, I had one when I was like 13.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen for a while. And then one of my explicit image breaks, it happened to me like last year. And it was that one was like my best sexual experience probably ever.
It sounds like your greatest sexual experience. You can't remember. You're just having a normal dream. I'm playing tennis with Vladimir Putin, and then all of a sudden I'm in a puddle. I'm in a puddle, but the puddle's real. I wake up.
Okay.
So, I've been getting busy with myself, and it's been in a different way, and it's been really good. I don't know if you guys needed to know that, all your viewers needed to know that, but now we do. And
no, all good.
I do
all
like
good.
Whoever's listening to this as a traditional podcast is now visualizing this. Also, I want everyone to remember he's wearing a North Korea shirt when he says this. So put that in your brain somewhere. Kim Jong-un riding a horse behind him while he jizzes in his sleep.
So, lockdown for me has been enlightening,
you mentioned this a couple times as far as this inner journey. What have you been focusing on, like Buddhist practice or doing something in? Is there any, what have you been kind of researching or doing in particular?
This really cool book I've been reading. I really like this guy right now. This guy's really great, called Jiddu Krishnamurti, and it's called The Awakening of Intelligence, and it's really fascinating. I've been kind of on a more. I think we're all in a. This is so not football, but I'm a,
No. Go.
There is no football happening right now.
I've been kind of. I think I've been more on like in a journey for a few years now, 2-3 years. I think a lot of my happiness before in my life was very externally based. So you know, football, girls, success, and just kind of always seeking happiness elsewhere. But I wasn't maybe feeling at peace with myself. So I kind of started to explore different ways and, you know, meditation, reading a bit of Buddhism, reading a bit of, I don't know the terms for a few of these ways that you can go down, but a lot more Eastern. A lot of wisdom from those paths. And it's been pretty cool, man. And now I'm sort of, my brain's rejigging a little bit and I feel a bit more calm. So
that's good, dude. Yeah, I mean, look, because we met you, or at least I know we definitely met you in Atlanta. That was the first time I met you.
Yeah.
And I knew of you through, obviously, you know, Alexis didn't want to say the name for some reason, but
open
ID. It was a big deal. And you are like a person who, as far as when I started watching your videos, you seem famous, right? I mean, in this particular way of like within the footballing community, like you went from just like, it seems like, from, and I don't know your complete background, but a football fan to someone who has a little bit of at least to credibility within the sport in your country. So what? Because it almost seems like a little bit like a footballer who's like who has a big prospect that everybody expects a lot from, and then they get fame, they get celebrity, and then as soon as that happens, they get all this attention put on them and a lot of criticism put on them. So I could imagine there must have been things either you regret or things that were that you didn't expect to happen.
Oh, for sure. I think so many experiences, which, you know, I started this very young. I'm 27 now, maybe got into it 21, 22, and as much as 21, 22, many people maybe are mature by then. I definitely wasn't, or even close to, I'd say, a maturity which I would want for myself. So I think during that period, it was very hectic. There was a lot of kind of personal things going on in my life as well. And, you know, being on screen, it can be very deceiving. And it's made me definitely a lot more, I'd say, cautious of criticizing anyone that sort of has a following or is doing something, because perception really is reality, and we don't know what people are going through. So it's been a good journey. It's been obviously tough at times, and I wouldn't say I regret anything, because that would imply, but it's all part of the journey, you know, and without doing things that you don't like and weren't maybe that good for you, you learn down the line if you want to learn from them. So it's been really good though. I really can't complain, you know, but yeah, I wouldn't say famous. I wouldn't put me in that category, but I appreciate
Well, you're on our show, so just pretend for a minute.
I am
until
you get off. I am famous.
For those who may not know you, I don't know what rock they're living under, but for anyone watching or listening that doesn't know you, we first learned of you through Comments Below, which was a show that was put out, if I'm not mistaken, every Monday.
Every Monday, for 7 years.
For 7 years. I think the first time I saw you was like 2014, maybe.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro.
And I learned, I mean, I'm now like, I'm going nuts. I love the Skepta, Young Ads, and Chip album. Like, but I only learned about British hip hop through you guys. So I swear, like, I didn't know what, geez, man, I didn't know Tottenham. I thought Tottenham was just where Spurs played, and I'm an Arsenal fan, so I hated Tottenham. I didn't know Tottenham was like the hotbed of like grime music for a long time and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So a lot of the reasons why we're even doing what we do is because you're the first time, you and Poet are the first time where I saw hip hop culture and soccer merged. That did not happen in America. And I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, which is, you know, Tottenham, but with guns. And Christian is from Brooklyn. Yeah. You've been like, what, three? Let's be honest. I saw Top Boy. They borrowed him for the show, right? To use him as props. And then Christian's from Brooklyn. Like, we're from a certain area where that kind of stuff didn't leak in a soccer. So we purposefully made this show to sort of bleed in a little bit of that hip hop, a little bit of that street culture into soccer in America. Is that part of what you guys had hoped to do in the beginning? When you and Poet first came together, what was the thought process? What was the plan? Was there any?
Oh, bro, that was a crazy time because I rejoined Copper 90. I was at university still, so I just started studying. I had my kind of uni loan and that was it. My dad maybe gave me some money, and then Poet, there was an opportunity at Copper 90 for the show Comments Below, and Poet called me and he said, hey man, I know you tweet a lot about football and you seem like a funny guy, do you want to come and do this audition with me for this new channel and you might get paid? I was like, hell yeah. And then if you watch the first episode, it's ridiculous, it's absolute rubbish. It's still up, I think, on the channel. And we got the audition, and it started being that kind of weekly show where me and Poet were the main presenters. And because I guess we're from the culture of listening to kind of hip hop and being influenced by black culture and the grime and from our environment, pretty much, it's naturally what kind of went into the conversation, because we'd use our slang, we talk a bit about music, and eventually, as we became more a part of Copper 90, we needed to come up with another concept, and I came up with the FIFA and chill concept of playing FIFA, and we really wanted to make footballers more comfortable, and we wanted to get exclusives from them from a comfortable level where we're talking to them kind of on like a friendly level rather than trying to catch them out, which was very common in the UK media of just trying to get negative headlines. We really wanted to get a positive spin and bring music into it and bring entertainment into it and not just make it football. And I think during that kind of period, we really kind of went on like an incline where a lot of the brands were like, what's this, FIFA and chill? This is so, you know, new and interesting. And, you know, we interviewed the whole football world, and it was a really, really cool journey. Very proud of all the things that we did. And, you know, I'm happy that, you were influenced by it as well in some way. And I mean, that's the beautiful aspect of it, is that many people got something from it, and the whole community of the football online world has grown, where us as football fans have managed to, you know, have some sort of career and following and make some sort of life from this. So no, I can't complain, and it was really cool. But yeah, that was kind of a part of the plan, was to infuse football with different parts of culture. And that's what we kind of did for a while, and then eventually kind of, you know, it wasn't really where we wanted to be anymore and left. But
congratulations. I saw on Instagram you just posted you Poet and Vooj, your YouTube channel just reached 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah, it's wicked.
That's
dude. I mean, it's not easy, but it clearly shows like the influence that you did have over people, and they wanted to follow you wherever you ended up going.
And
so,
the audience, you know, if anybody's listening that does watch us, it's not the hugest audience. It's not KSI numbers, and it's not like we're living in mansions or anything, but I find that the audience is very, very respectful. The audience that we have, they're very humor driven. they don't really take things so seriously, but also a very intelligent audience of, I'd say, young people that are into football, but also into other things. They're quite open-minded. And I'm very proud of the kind of Poet and Vooj wanderers, as we call them on our channel, that are...
They're great, except if anybody says the word soccer.
Yeah, just
the
word soccer. Yeah.
Oh, boy. It has been,
yeah, I really wish you guys would have invented that word. But yeah, no, I guess we're homosexuals as well. Exactly. Right? Homosexuals. Let's go. We got more with Vooj when we get back. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you, and maybe even Ali Krieger.
Correct. Yes, Gully Squad has been litter than ever.
It was wild litty. In fact, some of us, people came in and said, hey, we heard you were having a party. You're going to get a ticket because of coronavirus. I said, no. It's just Gully Squad. They said, all right, well, then please continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. And then I tipped my cap to the officer. Gully Squad has been, again, especially during this quarantine, we've spoken about how it is more than just just getting some extra content. It is becoming a very much a full-fledged community of people sharing ideas, sharing stories of comedy, everything. So, yes, you may have heard recently we did the first Gully Squad happy hour, and that wasn't even us. That was just the Gully Squad members putting that together. Shout out to Peter Garcia, who had the idea initially, and
he wanted to get drunk with other members and let's go, you know.
Yeah,
and let me tell you something. I think it started around what, 6 p.m. It started at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
I logged back in at like 11:30, and it was still happening,
dude. Bro, that's how we do it. Gully Squad, bro.
Gully Squad. It ain't called Softy Squad, my guy.
Okay.
Also, how did you know my nickname in high school?
Yeah, that's the Mr. Softy Truck subscriber service.
Actually, I got it after prom. It was a really, first time drinking whiskey. It was a lot.
Yeah, I hate that it stuck. I'll be honest. Yeah. No, but if you wanna, yes, the Gully Squad happy hour was unbelievable, and we had a special guest join us, Ali Krieger of the Orlando Pride and the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time World Cup champion, just hopping in Zoom calls with us.
Christian, how many other podcast fan group Zoom happy hours do you think two-time World Cup winners be hopping into, or someone on the cover of People Magazine?
I'm rifling through all my paperwork. You hear, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to get through it. I honestly cannot find anything. I have the records.
I'm trying to add it up right now, and you can hear my calculator with the page with the paper. You can hear it going. Ding. There it is. And look, it says zero. The number is zero. So you can stop rifling through all your paperwork with your what are the printer with the that all the paper was like court,
the
like
dot
attached?
Matrix.
Yes.
Dot matrix.
Yes, your dot matrix paper. You can stop looking at it, dude.
No, but I love. I can't let it go.
Keep it for sure. Keep it because you need the records for 7 years for tax reasons. What I'm saying is you can stop rifling through it for this.
Okay. We'll get through this break then. Yeah. Look, that those are some of the things that are possible if you join Gully Squad. There's a lot of fun. Not only is just cool content, but fun surprises like that. And we are actively trying to make it more than just just sending you an extra 20 minutes of a podcast a week or a month or whatever. We're trying to like offer Gully Squad members a genuinely fun experience, similarly to what we get to have. We're trying to put out something really, really fun and cool. And it's
all the stuff we would have wanted when we were just soccer fans and didn't have a podcast or a TV show.
Totally.
Like, this is what I would have loved to have been hanging out on some conference call or something like that. And all of a sudden a two-time World Cup winner just hops on from her backyard just hanging out.
Sure. It would have been nice if Ronaldinho would have called from prison.
From prison, dude. Imagine we were his only phone call. Yo, how lit is that, dude? He's like, I ain't even trying to get out, dog. I just want to say what was good. I just made this phone call to say what's good.
I don't need to talk to no lawyers. Get the Gully Squad on the phone.
Ew, dog. What are my lawyers going to do? I did this shit.
All right. So please join Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com and hit the join Gully Squad button. I promise you it is as fun as these breaks. We have a good time with it. And you'll have unique experiences and really cool things. And you'll help the show grow. So please do that. Soccercooligans.com and click on join Gully Squad.
All right, baby, we're back. Even more with David Rianich, Poet and Vooj channel. There's so many different things that you do, right? But I think at the very core of what you guys do is you sort of make soccer, and we talked a little bit about this in the break. You make soccer, which is sometimes we think a little over serious.
Oh, yeah.
You make it lighthearted and fun. But I think it's also like we can also see, especially you, a little less on Poet, because he seems a bit more just like sort of poker face. Like you, we can see when the criticism gets to you. How did you deal with, as a young person, getting on the internet, being there weekly, just, you know, TV doesn't have comments below it. You know what I mean? Like, if someone hates us, you got to, like, find my email. You know what I mean? Like, you go view yourself. Below it, it says, like, a bunch of trash stuff. Did it take you a minute to get through that? Because as comedians, we deal with that. But for this show, we don't. Like, did it take you a hot minute to get through that?
Yeah. I think, I think we all in a way seek acceptance from others, and we want to be liked, and maybe that is a part of my persona from a lot of the time, was wanting to be liked and accepted. So I think when I still do, but a bit less because I've been working on it, but I used to have a much more perfectionist side. So the smallest of comments, I would pretty much kind of like trip a bit too much over, you know, the audio not working well, or I don't know, some glitch or something isn't going well, I would have more of an effect on it. But I think as I've taken a bit more of a step back and tried to relax, yeah, it's become easier. But I think it's the journey you have to face, you know, when you put yourself out online and you put yourself out into the world, you're gonna face criticism, you're gonna get face people that don't like you. But I think if you stay authentically yourself and you manage to have your own authentic message, it shouldn't get to you as much, because at least you know you're doing what feels true to yourself. I think it's once you're compromising your own reality and truth, that's when the criticism can hurt, because you're not even doing what you want to be doing. You know, I think that's when it's the worst kind of criticism, because maybe you didn't even want to do what you were doing, but you did it because it was like, I don't know, a shoot that you had to do. And then it's like, it wasn't in your power to control the narrative. I think if you're controlling the narrative, it doesn't really get to me as much.
Yeah, and it at least feels good, like the when you are doing something that you appreciate and does feel fulfilling, the positivity comes back from other people. Yeah. So you're not going to win over everyone, but obviously it still feels good to win over some people. But I did want to ask about let's talk about some football, mate. Because
I'm sorry, what word was that? I think you mean soccer.
Soccer, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So
the whole country has a show called Soccer AM, and they yell at us. I don't get it.
So the you are very vocally a Liverpool supporter, which is why I'm decked out in my Everton gear. As far as the season for Liverpool supporters, obviously it's incredible, the Premier League season. But obviously this being the season being either cut short, or we don't know what the rest of the season is going to look like. How does it feel as a Liverpool supporter to either win the league in this way, or just what does it do? Does it dampen
the
trophy
possibly? You know,
I would say honestly, I think it does dampen it a little bit. I think whatever you're trying to celebrate right now, and maybe the footballing world or the sporting world, it's not going to feel the same, you know. So for me, it does dampen it a little bit if it's won in this way. I mean, I'm hearing the Premier League might continue with games in June, mid June. So it'll be good to complete it. There was a part of me which found it absolutely hilarious if it did get cancelled, because I was kind of like joking around with my friends, you know, before this happened, and we were kind of saying like, what would it take for Liverpool not to win the league? You know, they'd have to lose 10 games, or you know, we'd have to like, you know, have to be World War VII, or you know, there'd have to be like a comet would have to hit the earth for Liverpool not to win the league. And like within a month, we have a lockdown situation. We actually might happen. So part of me, maybe the kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to say anti-establishment, but the kind of like guy that enjoys this like chaos is like, wow, if this stops the league, that's just hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Maybe you've become too powerful spiritually, and you are the one that put this in the air. Okay. I'm telling you, that shirt's listening to you, dude.
You don't know your own strength, dude.
I couldn't believe it. And I think just that kind of element of what's the word? Like, just unreality. What's the I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
Fantasy, or kind
of like something.
A nightmare?
Yeah. The sort of just, is this really happening? I call it a glitch in a matrix. Like, this is a glitch in the, we're witnessing a glitch in the matrix here. Like, after what kind of spell is on this club for them not to win the league if it happens, you know, in this way? So,
And as far as I'm curious, because we don't have this conversation too often with people who live in England and pick their Premier League team. You're not from Liverpool. You didn't grow up in Liverpool. No, so how does that happen?
Yeah, obviously, what Serbian superstar was on Liverpool?
Jovanovic.
I mean, I picked Everton out of the fact that they had American players. And I was like, okay, this seems like the only connection, the strongest connection I have. But how did you pick Liverpool?
I mean, you know, coming from ex-Yugoslavia, coming from Serbia to the UK, I'm kind of similar to you guys in the essence that I'm not naturally English, or that I wasn't born in an area where, you know, I was kind of passed down a club. My family didn't really like football either. So I think it was just Michael Owen was on the TV, and my mum said something about Michael Owen, Liverpool were playing, and I was like, oh, who's this guy? Then it was at World Cup 98, Owen was playing for England, scoring plenty of great goals, and that's when I kind of took an interest into Michael Owen and then Liverpool, and then as the times passed on, they just kind of became the club that I supported, and I mean, now I'm kind of just, I'm back to being, because I think I kind of, as you can see, I do question things a lot. I did start to question that as I kind of grew up, and I was like, wait, what is this attachment to Liverpool? If I do get the criticism sometimes because I'm not really from there. So I faced this really weird reality when Red Star Belgrade played Liverpool. And because Red Star Belgrade is a Serbian team, and I'm big into Serbian sports and football. And when I got the opportunity to go back home, Champions League qualifying was the biggest thing. And if a summer holiday, whether it's Partizan Belgrade or Red Star Belgrade from like 13, 14, 15 when I came back to Serbia, those were the teams I'd watch. I couldn't afford a Liverpool ticket. My parents wouldn't take me. I had no way to go to Liverpool. So every summer, my biggest dream was just to watch Champions League qualifier. And I remember watching like Red Star Belgrade, PSV, Colina being the referee, watching Red Star Belgrade, AC Milan. So that was kind of the club that I love, you know, and then living in the UK, you're watching Premier League every week and you're with your friends and you're kind of supporting Liverpool. And then when these two met in the Champions League, I was like, this is surreal, because Red Star just haven't been in it for 23 years since they won it in 91. And then, you know, they lost the home leg. I went to Liverpool and watched it. They lost 4-0, 5-0. And it was like, whatever, you know, we had a good day out. And then Red Star played them in Serbia and won 2-0.
I remember that.
But my internal dialogue was like, I feel passionately, you know, I'm passionately supporting Red Star here, even though many people know me as this mad Liverpool supporter, and I think it confused many people. But it's just kind of like, you know, from, you know, my background, I always go for my national.
But to quote the wise David Vujanic, there are no rules.
Exactly.
I think that's you may have lost the match on the field, but you won the back off contest. Poet and Boots channel, check it out, hit subscribe. They've already hit 100,000. What are you waiting for? I know, come on now. You're doing so much, right? I mean at least from what I would assume, right, from before this whole pandemic started, you guys were sort of on a roll with your own channel. You had a podcast. I got a chance to listen to the Ian Wright episode, Troops, who's been on our show as well. That was a great episode. You have so many different ways that you sort of can. Poet, I think at one point had his own sneaker deal. There's so many different things that you guys are sort of getting your hands into. If you had your way, if you just sort of could, you know, wave a magic wand and pick like the next thing that you guys were doing, as far as a Poet and Vuj or just even as you, whether it's Filthy Fellas, any of that, what is it that you would want to do next? Because there's so many different things that you can do.
I think naturally it would maybe be a TV show of some sort. I don't think, from what I see and what I've experienced in the UK, I don't know if we're for the UK market that much, because it is a very still quite a conservative, I'd say, market in general, and being the kind of more edgy and maybe not, I wouldn't say controversial, but we like to be comedic like you guys and poke fun at things in our own way, which is a niche type of humor. It's not for everyone. I think it kind of maybe even fits the US market more, or Australian market more, somewhere where you can be creative and fun with it.
Yeah,
It's a little too street, I think, for the masses.
Well, yeah, we are a little
street.
Yeah, street. Yeah. I think you know, we fit a weird sort of I don't know, like the outcasts of society come and watch us. You know, we're like the kind of black sheep of YouTube. You know, but maybe TV would be great. Netflix maybe might be a good thing to do, and maybe just more regular content and keep growing the channel, because even now. I mean, I'm from the Balkans and we can be very lazy, and I kind of like just doing the minimum. It's just kind of my I like to just glide. That isn't the best.
I think Alexis is Balkan. Yeah, must be. Now you say that.
No, but lazy and gliding, that's what Jim is. Christian likes to go on the sides. I'm more of a lazy river kind of a guy, you know?
Christian's more like poet, maybe. I'm like, I'd wake up and if, you know, if we were in Miami, we could get a Cuban sandwich in the morning. You know, film maybe, you know, do we have to film today? Let's film tomorrow. We don't have to film today.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Yeah. I think the Christian and Vu's channel would be just a very similar relationship, I think.
We'd release nothing.
Yeah. If it was Alexis and Vu's, I mean, it'd be mostly Instagram lives because my phone is in front of me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever's easy. But I think credit to you. I mean, as much as you're saying, you know, you would love to not work and yada, 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 or you like to do the minimal, you guys have put out so much content. And I don't think you guys have taken enough opportunity to really understand how influential you've been in the American market. You know, I think even just as simple as I didn't know how significant Skepta was until we were at that party in Atlanta. And I saw you, Bradley Wright Phillip, and Poet go absolutely nuts when the ASAP Rocky Skepta song came on. And I was like, Skepta's not even that good of a rapper. That's what I said in my head. You know what I mean? But these guys are going crazy. And I'm like, well, it's that thing of like, well, they're English, so they're just happy that an English person's on. And then I went back and listened to it. I'm like, nah, my dude's got bars. You know what I mean? So like, I don't think you understand how influential you've been. Do you watch American soccer at all? Have you witnessed any MLS?
Yeah, no, we did a few like American tours. I came out for the MLS All-Star last year in Atlanta, where I met you guys. So I went to Orlando. We went to Atlanta, been to NYCFC, went to Red Bulls. Did we go to any more? LAFC, been to LAFC. So we interviewed a few guys, Gyasi Zardes, Bradley.
From Galaxy. While he was at the Galaxy.
Yeah, Bradley Wright, did a few guys in Orlando, can't remember the names. I've consumed it a little bit, and I don't have such a negative perception of it. I know sometimes it gets quite a bashing from the UK and maybe the European football fans, but I mean, you've got to take things for what they are and the level that they're at. So I enjoy it. I enjoy when I manage to catch some highlights when Zlatan was around. And even now when I'm on YouTube, I might kind of just see what's going on, see how Bradley's doing. Yeah. He's obviously moved to LA Galaxy. And, you know, the new stadiums, I've been impressed with how, you know, they've been investing in the new stadiums. Obviously, Miami's got the side now as well. So it's, you know, it's growing in its own pace. It's a different sort of setup with the no relegation. So
I'm curious about why do you think there is so much extra level of criticism put on American soccer compared to other leagues across Europe, anywhere else in the world? It seems that America is ambitious enough to they keep saying they want to be the best league in the world, and everybody's like, all right, relax, let me put them back in their place.
I've never heard an English person tell an Italian it's not calcio, it's football, mate. You know what I mean?
I think it's maybe a difference in mentality of like worldview. I think that kind of might be what it is. I think with America, it can be sometimes quite insular, where, you know, it's like America is America and you guys have so many things going on. The NBA is the greatest basketball league, baseball, you've got so much going on, and there is a kind of celebrating of American culture. And I think because football was kind of in the background, because it's only recently been stepping up. I think the Europeans are just like, no, you haven't. No, you're not on this level yet. You know, they just come through like, chill. I think it might be something to do with that, and just historically how much Europe, you know, how the birth of football was here and the quality level as well. I think that's a big part of it, is that the quality and how much, you know, goes into grassroots in the Europe, and how much investment there is here and the money here. And I think it'll be very tough for the MLS to become the best league in the world, you know, unless you can start attracting players at a young age to come to the US. You know, that statements like that would definitely brush the kind of hardcore conservative football fan in Europe down, you know, the wrong way. So, a bit of disbalances there, I reckon.
What a long way to go to say Americans are assholes. We got more with David Bianic after this. Now, we were talking a little bit about how intense some of the fans are in England, and just sort of the dichotomy of the fan bases in America versus how they're treated, how they are in England. I remember when I was when I went to go see my first Arsenal match. This was in 2014, I believe. Mm. I've been a fan my whole life, and I finally get to go on. It sucks that I didn't get to go to Highbury, but I got to go to the Emirates. And I remember I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go to one of those pubs on Holloway." And one of my friends was like, "Nah, you'll get stabbed." And I was like, "Yo, let's go!" Right? I don't know why, man. I was like, "Imagine I get stabbed, dude. You know, that'd be so dope." But it's just a different fan base, and part of why I know that obviously is because I'm a big fan of just the game, but also you've taken so much heat for putting on kits of different English clubs.
Yeah.
Now, I'll wear anything except I'm an NYCFC fan, so I find it very difficult and also disingenuous to wear a Rebel shirt. I'll wear any English club, but I'll never put on a Tottenham shirt.
Yeah.
Have you ever put on an Everton kit, and would you care, or how much heat do you take for all this?
I think people have gotten used to that I'm a bit of a strange character and a little bit unorthodox. So the people that follow me know that I love football kits, and I love the way they look. I love the stories behind them. And at one point in my life, I would have never worn another Premier League team. It was just Liverpool, no other team. And since I've kind of become more detached of being kind of like a fanatic of one team, I've kind of just like enjoy a kit. Like I love the Tottenham blue kit that they had this season with Nike, with the Nike old school logo. And I got it given to me, and I was like, I really like this kit, so I actually really want to wear it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be a Tottenham fan now, but I've become more of a lover of the game, you know. But you get hate for it naturally because it's just what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be caught dead in a Liverpool kit.
Also, how about this? This is for everyone who's English, if you're watching. We'll stop saying soccer when y'all start saying Nike, all right? That's our brand, dog. That's us. Yeah. We invented that. Y'all wouldn't be wearing nothing if it wasn't for us. You'll still be wearing them weird, whatever those little shoes are, them little joints with the like the Japanese, right? You know what I'm talking about? They look real small. They look like
what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking
about. I'm so angry when y'all say Nike. What are y'all doing?
Nike.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about just the Poet and Vuce channel and your the level of already celebrity that you've of guests that you've had on the show. I mean, you've already worked in football for a long time. You've had huge interviews with some huge players and huge figures.
Yeah, we can't get a Premier League player on our show. You've had just a revolving
please,
door.
Can you just give them our number? Yeah. We just want to get
text,
Premier League
text somebody, Vuce, quick.
I got you.
But it's interesting because it's like a couple questions here. But like one is, is there anyone that you were absolutely shocked to be able to interview that maybe even knew who you were before you started? And then also the level of, you know, I feel like I learn a lot about the club's fan bases through you guys. Like, the people who support Arsenal, what are they like, and all these kinds of things, like the Tottenham, everybody has like they're like their own ambassadors for their club. But I feel like I get to learn about a lot about that. So can you talk a little bit about some of the guests that you've had on the show, and then also that kind of influence and being able to share what fan bases are like?
I'd say the most kind of maybe star, where I was a bit nervous and starstruck, was definitely Beckham. Neymar, you know, the big names, because you are kind of like, you know, hitting yourself in the head, like, what the hell am I doing here? I think for
you pinch Neymar by mistake, and you're like, oh, sorry, I was going to pinch myself.
He just shines, like, I was like, this guy's from a different planet.
Yeah, he like, has that look on his face, got, like,
when you got that much money and you're that successful, and definitely you can literally do anything you want, it's a different type of energy. So,
can I just say something? Yeah. If a country paid $222 million to help me go to another team, I'd be the biggest asshole in the world. Could you imagine? I'd be like, yeah, dog, I got oil money behind me, my guy.
It's cool. He was a cool guy. He wasn't like when we interviewed him, I think, because once again, we came on like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, yeah, Brazil, hey, Caipirinha. Yeah. And he was like, hey, you know, kind of getting that kind of cultural kind of. Bex was really cool. He's like, the smile is beautiful, like his teeth are amazing. R9, that was like a personal hero of mine that I managed to interview in Brazil. Got like 10 minutes of him when I was at COP90, and that was, for me, was like the complete cycle of a journey, because that's R9 for me was my favorite player. Love Brazil. That was just, you know, insane to get to talk to him. Stevie G as well. That was crazy, just for me personally, to for a guy that I've cried over.
Yeah.
When he nearly went to Chelsea, and it was confirmed at one point, I was crying that he was going to go to Chelsea for 30 million.
Yeah.
And then he didn't go, and I was elated. So it's a
can,
great one.
Can I just tell you one Stevie G story? When he was with the Galaxy playing against NYCFC, all New Yorkers are obviously on the subway, you know, going to the game, and there were a bunch of you know, British Liverpudlians on the train singing like Stevie G songs.
By the way, the train's going to the Bronx, which is like the train's going to the Bronx. Like the hood. Like nobody even knows soccer's a thing there.
So they're singing on the train. They're being really loud, really obnoxious. And then this Puerto Rican girl just goes, y'all need to stop being so damn loud.
America.
Culture.
Yeah, dude. We ain't got no time for all this. You love Stevie G? We don't know who Stevie G is.
And the shocking thing is that a Puerto Rican woman asked you to stop being loud, which means that was really loud. You know what I mean?
So, but yeah, I did ask about getting to know the fan bases, like, you know, and just a quick example, like when you guys spoke to like Troy Deeney, Ian Wright, you know, one thing there's two things I feel like I get from watching your show, your interviews, is I get to know what the hood is like in every particular city, yeah. Right? I get to know like what real football, I don't know, quote unquote, real football fans or whatever, but like I get to see a side of it that you don't normally get to see. So what is it, how much thought is put into kind of showcasing that?
Not much. We sometimes literally, we don't even have like questions. Most times we haven't even done research. We just go in and we're like, let's talk. You know, you
have no idea how similar you guys are to us, or vice versa. Because you know what it is, we like to talk, so it's like we'll have a conversation.
Something will happen. Yeah, I think that's it. And most of the times, you get something out of it when you do it that way. And I think it's a little bit different from maybe bigger YouTube channels, where there is more preparation. You know, they have more views, maybe a bigger audience naturally. But I think in this way, you get to be yourself at the most organic, in the most organic way possible, and you get the person to be their most organic self. So I think that's a part of it which we get, and so not much goes into it, man. And I think we're sharing the backgrounds we're from, because I've grown up in loads of different areas in London, same as Poet, and you know, we are from not the, you know, the most, I don't like the word privilege, but we're not from privileged backgrounds. So we connect with these football players that also aren't from those backgrounds.
Yeah.
I think when you talk, you naturally kind of reminisce and talk about what you've been through, and you connect on that level where you've had these shared experiences.
When you saw Volta in the new FIFA game, did you immediately go, yo, that's because of us? Because to some degree, it feels like y'all had a lot to do with it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
they even started with the V. I thought it was going to be called Vujda. You know what I mean?
I saw that, and I was very happy that the voice of Volta on FIFA was Troops. I was very, very happy for him.
Because it's genuine.
Exactly. And I think a lot of these, you know, corporations and brands have seen, you know, they see what's going on, and you know, I know people have told me from other things that we've been used a lot in like decks, you know, like, oh, we want it to be like you know. And
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, that's definitely... That happens in comedy all the time where they're like, you know.
You don't want them, something like them.
Something like
I heard an agent once go like, oh, Hannibal Buress is popular. I'm going to go out and find 8 more Hannibal Burresses. And I was like,
you can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
Just hire him. That'd be nice.
Exactly.
You want me to text him? Like, what are you doing? He'll do all 8 jobs. The dude was homeless once. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But, you know, I don't hold any grudges there or anything. It's just, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, people are going to do what they need to do. So.
Are you proud, though? I mean, forget the grudge. Are you proud? Do you look at, do you play that part of the game? Be like, yo, that's because of me, my guy.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure we had some influence there. I know because obviously Cop and I had conversations with EA and FIFA, and I know that FIFA and Chill had a big part to play in how they view player interviews and how they approach things. I mean, yeah, man, it's cool. It's good shit. You know, other people are doing those things now, and that's sick, man. I don't know. I don't really care. I think that's the essence of it, is I just don't care, you know, but.
Well, then I'm glad I asked the question.
All right. Thank you for tuning in again. We did it.
We did it, baby.
Vuj, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Let people know where they should follow you and catch some of that hot content.
Yeah. Obviously, check out the Poet and Vuj channel on YouTube. A lot of activities there. Obviously, you know, on the Instagram, on the social, D Vujanic. I'm on the Twitter, David Vujanic. Got my own channel. I don't really upload a lot, but I did like a little showcase of my football kits recently, which people enjoyed. And yeah, things will be coming. As long as I can be bothered to get up and do them, there'll be things coming. But
amazing. Yeah. I get you on a
spiritual level, you know what I mean?
So guys, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Also make sure you follow the Fubo Sports on all social media and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you again for tuning in, and Vuj. Yeah, send our best to Poet as well. Sure. We appreciate you guys, you know, spending some time with us. So, with that said, for David Vujanic, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and together, what are we?
The Cooligans!